Good morning. It's good to be back with you. A year ago, I was with you. I'd been on the job for 5 weeks. So I laid out a plan of what we were going to do, and it was largely about creating a platform. And I'm happy to tell you that we've made a lot of progress on creating that platform. Ginny and John have already given you an overview on it. What I hope to do is go down a level so you know what's in it and how it's working and see the progress we've made and the progress we intend to make in the year and years ahead. And then secondly, give you a sense of how people are using it and how that translates into a business model. Because I know you are all trying to answer that question that Ginny began with, which is how does this platform help drive revenue growth and margin expansion? And I assure you that those are good outcomes of a strong platform. So in this platform, which John talked about, first of all, I want to be clear that it's part of a big business. The cloud is a part of the $13.7 billion cloud business. Within that, we're already at $8.6 billion of that revenue being as a service. And that's important because the platform is rentable. Clients certainly rent using the cloud. Above that, they rent using the Watson APIs. Sometimes we compose those into applications and they subscribe to those applications, and sometimes they build their own applications and they pay for the APIs within those. But it grows on that, and then around that is a lot of services that we provide that help people move it from AI to cognitive, because that workflow change requires services to figure out how to do that. While we've talked about this broad area, within it there are four components that I want to go down into. There are a set of services that comprise the cloud itself, a set of services that help you bring your data or content into that cloud, a set of services that help you do computation on it, and then a set of conversational interfaces that make these applications easier to use. I'm not going to go through all the details of this chart. You'll have it, you can cover it, but there's a lot of components that have come together into the IBM cloud and Watson platform. It is very important that we brought those together into one architecture. All these pieces have been well managed already, and we made a lot of progress. But by putting those together into a single architecture, we first of all get higher quality, because we're doing things one way. We get more scalability, because as you bring in health data, or regulatory data, or banking data, or security information, you can train one system and it scales more quickly. That also helps with operating leverage, because every incremental application you build on the platform has a lot of code that's reused to begin with. So let me take you through each of the four layers and what we're basically trying to solve. So first of all, the IBM cloud itself. You're gonna hear from a couple of users who use the cloud. The cloud works well. It is geared towards AI. That means that we've got the GPUs and the accelerators and power coming behind it to be able to do that. And we've got a networking configuration that was designed for big data workloads, because you've got to ingest a lot of data, then you have to compute to make the inference, and then you've got to send it back out. This is a very different workload than a cloud that's done for, you know, a basic retail operation, or a cloud that's done for, you know, more consumer applications. There's so much data going into the inferences on the IBM cloud that it needed to be built in a different way and scale. And there's a lot of technologies in that cloud itself that are really robust and industrial. Also, it was critical, it is critical, that that cloud connect to other clouds. Because over time, as Ginny said, all companies are gonna become cognitive. That means they're gonna use more cloud. But if we're doing a cognitive application for a bank, we can understand what the end user needs, but we're still gonna go back to an on-prem system to pull out some of the information. And the ability to seamlessly work between those makes sense. You're gonna hear later about how the IBM cloud can work with the Salesforce cloud. They need to be able to work more closely, because as companies come together, their clouds need to work together, and we need to help them manage that. And our cloud, because it was designed to accommodate a private cloud and a public cloud, and hybrid solutions in the middle, it's unique in that ability, and I think it's gonna be more important as more applications move to be cloud-based. Above that is the data, and John and Ginny both talked about the importance of data. I would say, if you wanna get one, if you're trying to think about our cloud versus others, you know, Microsoft is built on .NET, you know, Amazon has these developers. Our core developers are data scientists. There's no place else for a data scientist to go and get a data science experience like the IBM cloud. A lot of work has been done on that. If you look at the Gartner reports and others, upper quadrant, real innovation. We understand the tools of data scientists. We live in their communities. And I would say most of our clients, and I would say most companies in the world, the fastest growing population are data scientists. These are becoming the developers of the cognitive era. And everything we're doing, including the stuff you'll hear in the afternoon from Bob Lord to attract developers, is aimed at a data science oriented developer first. And we've got great tools to do that. Then that builds to the AI capabilities that John was talking about to really make sure we can help our clients make sense of that data, find patterns in that data, find new solutions. To be clear, our AI is different than the ones you'll see that are consumer driven. The consumer driven ones have great scale. They have a lot of conversation. They live in devices in our kitchens, and those are very useful, but not all data is meant to be democratized. Not all AI is meant to be democratized. There are companies like the ones you're going to hear from today that have decades of experience that they need to capture and extend. One of the things I loved about the Woodside example is that a lot of the training was done by retirees because they didn't want to lose the expertise of people when they'd finished their careers on those oil rigs. We could capture that. That data is precious. That's the IP of those companies. That's why other investors are investing in those companies. We protect and extend that. I've been working in the digital business for a while. You know, when we saw the browser in the 90s, we got very excited about distribution. Most of the economics in the consumer internet goes to distribution because we built great distribution, great ways to find information, great ways to shop. That's where the value went. In this era, in AI for business, I don't believe the value is in the distribution. People have distribution channels that are working. I believe the value is in the knowledge. Content will be more valuable than distribution in this era, and it is our mission, it's the mission of everyone on this team, to make sure that we're creating that value for our clients, and then some of that accrues back to us. And then lastly, applications. And the platform has been built to make it easier to build applications, so you'll see some of those throughout the day. What I would say is it's become easier to take. So we had Health First and we had Financial Services. Financial Services could move faster because the platform existed and they could put their applications on top of it. As we bring new asset management things in the IoT sector, it's easier to build those because the platform is more robust. So this enables us to scale, and as you see, more and more third-party developers, owners of other applications, are also finding it easier to work on this platform as the platform gets hard and solidified. We've made enormous progress on this in the past year. I'm very proud of it. I'm very proud of how much faster we've been able to train, how much faster we've been able to bring things forward, the scalability, the security, and the reliance of this. We have a long way to go. We continue to invest and make great progress, but this architecture is something you should believe in as investors. It is foundational to the entire strategy, and it is indeed a robust architectural platform. To give you some quick examples of progress we've made on that, starting at the bottom, in the cloud, we've expanded with storage. A cloud is composed of compute, network, and storage. All of those needed to be handled. Object storage has been essential because so much data needs to be stored in that way. It's better for unstructured data. We acquired a company called CleverSafe. It is the leader in object storage. Our cloud object storage it was just launched in December, but it's already getting great, great results from our analysts and certainly from our clients. Everything we've done on compute to tune to make sure we're right for high-performance computing has been great. You'll hear later about power. I think our own hardware will be essential to continuing to have this advantage. People ask, why can't this just run in any cloud? At the core of it, you need that tuning of the compute, the network, and the storage to make it happen. And our network design is that as well. In data, we do have a Watson data experience. The Watson IoT APIs that help people who collect sensor data can build off that weather platform. That's enabling much more data to come in, and it's a much easier, more robust way of working, and very much embracing open source, which I think is also a differentiator, which has been key to the data scientists. AI, we continue to make progress. We had a set of APIs that we began with, but we're beginning to find some patterns that are used to sort of build horizontal applications. Conversation, which will be part of the H&R Block example, we now make it easier to learn a conversation, to bring a conversation in as a pre-composed application. Discovery is the ability to learn all the data in your company. Kind of, if you will, private search. You know, that was essential for our own IBM cybersecurity, or Watson for cybersecurity system, because it had to learn all the data. Deborah will also talk about drug discovery, another thing that can build on that pattern. And the virtual agent has been key to, because there's so many people who want to use this to augment their customer service, to be able to do things in a more automated way. So when we do find patterns that you need across multiple industries, we do build those horizontal patterns. And then above that, if you have industry data, you can bring it, whether it be all the health applications. If you've got data about a network system like cybersecurity, you can bring that forward. If you've got regulatory knowledge and financial services. And then, of course, partner apps. And then individual client apps are all being built on top of this platform. It will be certainly a silver thread through IBM, but I think it's going to be a silver thread through companies, because as more and more applications are cloud-based and more applications are cognitive, connecting cloud with your on-prem data, having one architecture that people can aggregate to is certainly going to help our clients scale more quickly as well. So with that, I want to talk about some of the users of the platform. I'm going to start with Workday. Anil couldn't come out, so he was kind enough to make a video for me. And the reason this is important is here we're working with them on specific needs. Workday, as many of you know, is also scaling up as a cloud-based system. They've got unique needs as they're also becoming more embedded into more workflows. And I think there's some things that we can uniquely do with them on the cloud itself. So with that, let's run Anil's video.
Workday is growing globally at a rapid pace, which requires strategic investment in our technology infrastructure so we can continue to accelerate the product innovation our customers have come to expect. IBM Cloud is a key partner to support this growth. It will serve as the primary platform for the internal development and testing of Workday's market-leading finance and HR applications used by some of the world's largest companies, including IBM. We chose IBM Cloud for its secure global footprint of 50 data centers and its excellent tools and services. Our development and test teams can leverage these capabilities to build new features and optimize our products so we can enable our customers to do even more with Workday. We know IBM relies on us to help manage HR. They're a happy Workday customer, and we're proud to be a customer of theirs too.
So as one example, and I'm going to go through three more, because I think people have been trying to understand the business model of the platform. So certainly, we have a lot of users like Workday. They use our cloud. They come, they run applications on the cloud. They use our developer services. They use what's unique about our cloud to scale up their business and ours. Then we have those who use that, but also build new applications that better serve their customers. So with that, let's go to our second example.
It is one of the most powerful tools our species has created. It helps doctors fight disease. It can predict global weather patterns. It improves education for children everywhere. And now, we unleash it on your taxes.
Hello, my name is Watson.
Yep, IBM Watson in the hands of H&R Block tax professionals. Creating a future where every last deduction and credit is found. A future of more money going back into the pockets of more families. This is the future H&R Block is building. Welcome to Texas One. H&R Block with Watson. Get your taxes won.
So it's early in tax season. We don't have all the results on that, but I do want to make sure you see some of how that's working. I was lucky enough to be at the H&R Block headquarters last week to talk with their board of directors about all of this. This company is 62 years old. It is a leader. It has such profound cumulative knowledge of what goes on in households across this country and how they work with taxes. And the tax code has changed over those 62 years. So they've learned a lot of things. They've got a lot of cumulative knowledge. There has been technology that's come in that's automated some of the tax process. There's new disruptive competitors out there. And yet what they understood was that if you could actually have a cognitive system, so you got the most of the system and the most of the preparer, you could in fact leapfrog the leapfroggers and build a set of trust and a better answer for people. And they trusted our platform to help them. So what I would say is that this happened pretty quickly. They came in May for the first time, had this discussion. They thought, you know, they'd heard it takes a while to train Watson, that maybe by the 2018 tax season we'd be ready. And together we convinced ourselves that we could run hard and have this up and tested and ready to go by the Super Bowl when that ad ran. And in fact, it's been in deployment for a few weeks. So I'm very happy to have with me a good friend, Kathy Collins, who's the Chief Marketing Officer for H&R Block, who can tell you about the journey they've been through with us. Welcome, Kathy.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you. I actually don't need this.
You don't need that, all right.
Good morning. Thank you, David. Thank you for having me here today. I cannot tell you, and I'm sorry John Hamm is not here, but I cannot tell you how proud I am of how far these teams have come together. So it really is my honor to be here today. So let me start by telling you a little bit about H&R Block, just in case you don't know who we are. So we are a global tax services company, and we provide both in-person retail as well as an online DIY product. We operate more than 10,000 company and franchise offices, franchise retail offices in the United States. And we have a retail office located within 5 miles of pretty much everybody in this country. So we are everywhere. Last year, we prepared over 23 million tax returns globally. And we prepare about 1 in every 7 U.S. tax returns. And since our inception in 1955, H&R Block has prepared over 700 million tax returns. So that's what we do. But let me tell you who we are. Because at the core of H&R Block is our value proposition, which is get your taxes won. And I want to tell you a little bit more about that. That is our positioning. And as you saw, that is our tagline. And that is how we're taking our 62-year-old brand forward. So today, I'm going to share with you how this led us to Watson and how Watson is helping us help people get their taxes won. So until this year, and hopefully some of you have been into an H&R Block, but until this year, our client experience really had not changed all that much at the desk. The tax pro had his or her monitor, and the client sat on the other side of the desk and usually was struggling to peer over that tax pro's shoulder to see what was on the screen. We all know, that retail is changing. Consumers have higher expectations and shorter attention spans, and we knew we could not continue the same way. When it comes to their taxes, clients wanted a more engaging experience. They want to understand what the tax preparer is doing. They want to know how it affects their refund, because at the end of the day, that's why people come to us, to get the biggest refund or the smallest amount due back to the IRS. Over the last 2 years, the competitive landscape in the tax prep industry has changed dramatically. It has become very, very intense. Notably, we have a DIY competitor who is out there making people believe that by simply checking a couple boxes, they can get their taxes done. And we know at H&R Block, it's not that easy. Because we have research that will tell you, when people do their own taxes, half the time, they make an error. And what that means is they're leaving money on the table. And the IRS isn't going to come and give it to them. So, coming out of the 2016 tax season in April, we knew we had to do something different. We knew that we had a unique competitive advantage in the tax category, one that both would engage clients in their tax preparation experience and deposition the idea of just getting your taxes done. Enter Watson. We made the initial call to IBM on May 19th of 2016. We were on a plane to New York on June 3rd. And almost immediately, we knew there was something there. At H&R Block, our tax pros are our most important asset. We have over 70,000 of them. And what we appreciated the very most about Watson is the idea of man and machine. Their insistence on man and machine in every application. Never was this about replacing our people. They are too important to us. It was simply about accelerating their expertise. So the teams quickly rolled up their sleeves and got to work. To David's point, our first thought was, if we could get this done in 2018, we're gold. We decided we had to do it this year. So to achieve the new client experience, we shared over 600 million data points with IBM to help Watson learn tax. We installed over 65,000 second monitors on every tax desk in every office across H&R Block. We wanted clients to be engaged in the process and the experience and understand the value that Watson and our tax pros were delivering. And on February 5th of this year, we chose the Super Bowl to publicly launch this new strategic partnership with IBM Watson and roll out this new client experience the very next day. So within 9 months, this went from a seed of an idea to actually being in front of clients across the country. H&R Block tax professionals are now leveraging the power of Watson in every one of our offices. Throughout the experience, Watson plays a very special role, and I want to walk you through some of those key moments just to give you an idea. When a client sits down with a tax preparer, there are two monitors on every tax desk. The one on the left here, the smaller one, is actually for the tax pro. The one on the right, the larger one, is for the client. So the Watson signature moments start with a cognitive interview. This is where the tax pro inputs responses from the client about what has changed in the client's life in the last year. Watson then will listen and highlight areas of expected tax impacts on what we call a knowledge graph. And the tax pro will then use these highlighted areas to navigate the tax return and get the client the very best possible outcome. As we move through the tax preparation interview, it's possible that the tax professional will come across additional deductions or credits that the client is eligible for. So again, man and machine working together. After tax prep is complete, the knowledge graph is back with additional highlighted areas that were discovered throughout the tax prep interview. This visual is used to remind clients that taxes are a very complex web of decisions, but we have organized them in such a way that's understandable and again, make sure that we get every client every dime back. And at the end of every interview, at the end of the experience, the client receives three personalized tax tips that are unique to his or her situation that are derived from insights accumulated from over 60 years of experience. This is a final demonstration of taxes won. So we did just roll this out, but the client response has been extremely positive to date, and I wanna share some of these results. So it's been in our offices for 4 weeks since the day after Super Bowl, and we're still monitoring results. We monitor every day, but just from the initial pilot, what I can tell you is we've seen a 2-point increase in overall satisfaction. We've seen a 2-point increase in intent to return, and a 3-point increase in our price value score. Clients are definitely seeing added value here. The dedicated client monitor, it broadly appeals to clients. They love being more engaged throughout the tax prep process. And tax pros are also very, very supportive. We were nervous about that, and they actually love the experience. They know that Watson is helping them fine-tune their delivery. Now, anecdotally, we've had well over a million views of our Super Bowl ad on YouTube, which is about 25 times our norm. We've also seen a significant spike in both our web traffic and our online retail appointments since we launched the spot on the Super Bowl. But we've really just scratched the surface. This is just the beginning for us. H&R Block's capabilities with Watson will continue to grow over time, and we know that. H&R Block and IBM Watson have a multi-year partnership, and it's a roadmap. We also have a roadmap for our future that we are very excited about. This season is simply the first step, and I encourage all of you to go into an H&R Block because we are excited to see how far we can go and where this journey will take us as we continue to revolutionize the tax category. Thank you all very much.
Thank you, Kathy. I think the other thing is, as you're trying to think about how we scale, the end of what Kathy said, I think, is key. So we're already laying out plans for 2018 and 2019. As you get a cognitive system, you do find new things it can do. You do find new applications to build. This is not one and done here. This is building a whole new set of leverage and capabilities into an organization. And there isn't a client on the chart that John showed you that isn't growing and scaling and finding new applications for us. So I think, as you look ahead, as I look ahead to what we're building in this platform, it's just the beginning of transforming so many businesses and processes. So I now want to go to a client that's started a little sooner, so we've got more of that example of how we've added multiple applications. And this is Woodside. So in 2015 is when we began working with Woodside. For those of you who don't know them, they are Australia's largest independent oil and gas company. They brought a replica of an oil rig downstairs. I encourage everybody to go see it. They flew from Perth to share it with you, so please go see them. They're also 6 decades old and have all their experience. They've been breaking ground for years and not just with their drilling rigs. So after all of this time of creating, collecting, and archiving engineering research, ideas that they've had, breakthroughs and explorations they've done, they wanted to capture that very human experience and extend it. So they enlisted us to cull through all those technical evaluations, all these handwritten employee reports, decision logs, and search and look for patterns, historical patterns, scientific patterns, look for experimental materials in order to be more quick and accurate in coming to decisions, in order to make decisions, surface answers, and get critical information when you need it, whether it's about your safety or it's about a big asset deployment. Peter Coleman is in Houston, I believe, today. He's also based in Australia, and we're gonna try to do this by satellite so that I can have a conversation with him and you can hear his firsthand experience. So let me welcome Peter Coleman. There he is. Yesterday, I had a bit of a time delay, so please be with her. Hi, Peter.
Good morning.
Peter, of course, you know, I know you. We just met at World of Watson, but everybody here doesn't know Woodside, so maybe just a minute on the business you're in.
Yeah, just a little bit of the business. Actually, I'm here in Houston at the CERA conference, which is, one of the preeminent conferences in the oil and gas industry. We kind of gather each year and try and work out what we think the future holds for us. But for Woodside, we operate about 8% of the global LNG supply. It's a market that's rapidly changing, both on the supply side and the customer side. And of course, with the overlay now of COP21 and some of the future challenges that we have, of course, we're an industry that's going through a lot of change. For us, what does cognitive technologies offer for us? Well, what we do is pretty well cast in die. What we need to do is then think about how we do things. And we're an old industry. You know, we're one that's been around about 100 years. Woodside itself, as you mentioned, has been in place now for over 60 years. And so the way we do things kind of get handed down across those generations. And we thought, well, we need to break the mold here. We need to take advantage of the things that we have, which is often the data, the information that's really at our fingertips, and start to use that in a much smarter, more contemporary way.
So you also found us. You called us a couple of years ago, really thinking about cognitive. So what caused you as a CEO to think about cognitive as a strategy for Woodside?
Look, it's a really good question, because it's one of those moments, and seriously, it's you're looking out the window pondering, well, where's the business going, and how can we kind of forge our own advantage in the marketplace? Because if as we looked at our business, we were pretty much becoming, you know, better at what we do, but we look pretty much the same as everybody else. And of course, when you're centered down in Perth in Australia, to attract the interest of investors and employees and so forth, you have to do something just a little bit different. So I started looking around the organization, and I really observed that we were fantastic at writing reports. In fact, you know, I would have put us up there with some of the best in the world at writing reports, but then we just put them on a shelf. And so we weren't really using them. I got this sense we weren't really using them. We just finished a major project, one that cost $15 billion, a big project for us. And so I tasked the guys to go and count how many lessons learned we had on this particular project. Well, Russ and his team got to 8,000. I said, that's enough. I think I can make a point here. And I assembled my executive team, with which there were five, around the table. And without warning, I said, guys, give me five lessons learned on our Pluto LNG project, our $15 billion project, which was only 2 years old at that point in time. Well, you know what happened. There was a lot of shuffling in the seats, lots of embarrassed looks. I couldn't get five consistent answers, and I said, done. The business case is done there and then. We need a tool like Watson to make sure that we can remember the things that we learn, to make sure that our people, as they come through the organization, can continue to dig at that rich well, or drink at that rich well of knowledge that we have, and to be able to access it in a way that they enjoy it, more importantly, because of course many of us have gone on data mining exercises, and it can be a very long one. You can pack your backpack and your lunch, and you can go off for a few days and then come back, and you really don't feel like you've got everything that you need.
Thanks. So one of the things I was just talking about before you joined us is how people start with one application and they add more. So it might be helpful if you could just share some of the specific Watson applications you've built and what kind of results you're seeing.
Look, we probably started the other way around, because as we thought about Watson, we thought this is really something you have to commit to, but start at the edge. So if you think of a banquet table, you know, start eating the banquet from the edge of the table, don't jump into the middle of it. But sign up that you're going to have a banquet. And so for us, for Watson, it was really stepping back and saying, are we into cognitive computing, yes or no? And that really needs to come from the CEO, to be honest, because the organization's really standing around saying, well, what's in it for me? Prove it to me. And particularly in an Australian environment, it's a culture where people want you to prove to them before they really get on board with it. It's not a command from the top and suddenly everybody jumps into line. So it's one of those ones where we really had to think about it. But the challenge there was, let's put it out to the organization. We're going to Watson. We set up a small group to do it. And then we started working through a number of areas. Now, of course, Watson for Projects was the easiest one of those. But we now have 15 areas in which Watson is part of our business. And we've probably got three that I can share with you today as we go through some examples. Watson's for Projects is one. As I mentioned, it's a natural one because we do projects all the time, and it helps our graduates build experience. But then there's Watson for Drilling. And of course, the oil and gas business is all about drilling. It's probably the closest thing we have to a manufacturing process in our industry. Unfortunately, that manufacturing process has to take its factory all around the world. So every time we drill a well, it's in a different geological environment with different hazards that we need to go through. We've seen some tremendous, really tremendous efficiencies gained in the drilling business, an 80% reduction in the geoscience research time that we need to actually design our wells. That means our geoscientists are actually doing geoscience work and not going off and looking for data. And then more recently, Watson for Health and Safety. We're in a high hazard industry. We've been operating LNG now for more than 30 years. Over that period of time, we've developed more than 300,000 safety reports. And so what Watson now allows us to do is reduce our investigation time by more than 75%. So That's a real advantage for us, because now we can actually start to get to implement those learnings in the field rather than digging through reams and reams of data and then probably not coming up with the right answer anyway.
So one of the things that I also want to emphasize here is that these versions of Watson belong to Woodside. So they haven't trained it so we can turn around and sell it to their competitors. They are getting a competitive advantage on this, and that's very different from the other platforms you'll see out there, and it's part of why people are choosing us. You called your system Willow, so I think you've got a video you wanted to show us about Willow. Is that right?
Yeah, yes we do. So let's watch a demo of how it all works.
At Woodside, by understanding our past, we've invested in our future. We've implemented Watson systems across our business, giving us access to decades of expertise. And our journey continues with Willow, our first cognitive assistant. Willow synthesizes and analyzes huge volumes of data, putting knowledge at our fingertips.
Hi, Ali. Have you found any information on the extension project construction schedule?
The project manager's left, and I've been trawling through the documentation, but I haven't been able to find anything useful.
The project is complete, so Watson should have all the documentation. Let's check. What was the construction schedule for the extension project?
Here is what I found in the Woodside corpus.
There's potentially a cyclone that can affect our loading schedule. Woodside Donaldson LNG vessel was around the area. Can we check where it is now?
Where is the Woodside Donaldson?
Here is the location of the ship you were asking for.
Willow will be available wherever we are, on our desktop, on the phone, and in the office. It's changing the way we work. This brings our dreams of how we interact with technology to life. Our vision for Willow is ambitious.
Hey, it's awesome, and we've got a demo here, so hopefully people will go down and see it. I guess, what benefits are you expecting in the future from all this? Where's this going?
Well, you can see, Willow's our virtual research assistant, so really it humanizes it and really will encourage people now to start working with the system even more. Of course, Willow's intuitive, so it can access knowledge instantly from across five very complex and disparate systems that we have in Woodside, and we're already seeing about 15% cost savings through it. So these are early days for us. We're a knowledge-based organization. We're bifurcated. We have a very high integrity manufacturing part of the organization, and then we have a knowledge-based part of the organization. The savings I'm talking about just come out of half of the organization so far, that knowledge-based. I really don't know what the potential is at the moment. Once we get into that manufacturing part, we can probably multiply it again.
Well, we're going to try. I think we'll make progress. Lastly, last time you and I met in Las Vegas at World of Watson, we had a long conversation about change management and bringing cognitive into Woodside. Could you just close with a little view on how the whole process of becoming cognitive changes your organization itself?
Yeah, look, it's a really interesting question, because I think this needs to, in many ways, be targeted towards the culture of your organization. So the first thing is to step back and say, what really motivates our people to do things? And of course, we're an inquisitive organization. So our people like change, they're very inquisitive, but they're very suspicious of change. And so what we needed to do was to find early wins in the organization and set up the group so that they were in some ways protected from the normal day-to-day running of the business. And so they reported to me directly for a period of time. People thought it was a bit of a novelty until we started rolling it out. And what we did is we targeted our young people. Of course, the old people all stepped back. Watson can actually be a bit of a challenge for the older people in the organization, remembering that they've probably got 30 years of experience. That experience is the thing that gives them their job each and every day. And so they need to be able to turn around and actually say, Watson's not a threat to me, but actually Watson is going to be something that's a help to me. So we put a tagline in place. We said experience counts. And then we teamed up some of our more experienced employees with our young graduates coming in, and together you saw that the graduates were started early data mining. They worked together and then just spawned. And we went from pushing the organization to suddenly, as you know, you get to the top of the hill and now it starts rolling down. Suddenly there was pull. And we knew the day that there was pull because there was this sucking sound throughout the organization. They said, good, we've got something we believe in. I don't need to push the business case anymore. In fact, my challenge as CEO was actually keeping up with the resources to get Watson better deployed. So it's you've got, my only advice on it is I don't think there's one approach to it. I think you really have to look at your organization. But the best thing is get some early wins on the board, and that'll be very important for you.
Peter, that's great advice, and thank you for joining us. I know you've been busy down there, and I appreciate you finding a few minutes to join us today. And finally, we just announced a landmark partnership between IBM and Salesforce to bring AI to many more organizations. And we certainly want to share that, explain that to you today. I think it's a great example to close on because it shows this view of how Watson as a platform can connect to other applications and help a whole organization become cognitive. Ginny?
Okay, so we're trying all forms of technology here. Can Mark see us? Is he up now? So I'm going to introduce, although probably needs no introduction to many of you as an analyst.
Oh, there he is.
Oh, there he is. Okay, you're behind me, but I have to face this forward, or I don't know which side of me. You will see the wrong side of me. So so I'm going to welcome Mark, and actually the two of us last night got to announce this partnership. And as we both said, you know, look, 2017 is the year that you see AI in full scale in enterprise. And so platform to platform, a wonderful connection here. And so why don't I let Mark speak for himself out there, but I appreciate that he took the time to join us live here. And to me, it's a great demonstration, not only of Watson's strength, the strength of CRM. So the two of us together. So Mark, thank you.
Hey. So Mark, last night you and Ginny talked to a number of companies about the 5,000 customers that are shared between IBM and Salesforce. What does this partnership between us mean to those clients?
Well, I just want to thank you and Ginny for having me today. I mean, I'm super excited to be here, and I'm coming to you actually live from Salesforce's headquarters here in San Francisco. I'm in one of our buildings called East. We have West next door, and if you look right behind me, you'll see the new Salesforce Tower rising, which is going to be the tallest office building here in San Francisco, so we're getting very excited here at Salesforce. David, you know, last week we also announced a record quarter, $14.5 billion on and off the balance sheet, up 28%, and we also saw our cash flow go up 50%. It was a spectacular Q4.
So now, this is the IBM Investor Conference.
Coming off of that strength. And what we're... Oh, okay. Well, I want to make sure that I tell you how great things are going at Salesforce, David. But I'll tell you what, we had a great quarter last quarter, and now we have this great announcement with IBM.
Good. So what do you imagine clients are going to be able to do with Watson and Einstein and IBM and Salesforce together?
Well, David, I'll tell you, you know, we right here in San Francisco on Sunday night, we had a weather phenomenon. You probably read about it. It was on the national news. We had kind of those clear skies like you can see behind me. And all of a sudden, we had 15 minutes of unbelievable hail. Then we had 15 minutes of completely blue skies. Then we had 15 minutes of unbelievable downpouring rain, blue skies, and then hail again. It was incredible. And I was thinking about today's announcement, and you know, five out of the five top insurance companies in the world all use Salesforce to manage their customer information. That's what we do. We're managing their sales and service and marketing and building communities and analytics and also doing commerce with them. And that's, you know, that's our bread and butter. But then when I thought about, gee, you know, Watson has all this weather information and, of course, the ability to have artificial intelligence connected to weather, wouldn't it be amazing, since we already have all the email marketing hooked up, that we knew that hail was about to hit, and wow, we can email all those customers, get your cars in the garage now. And I know for our large insurance customers, like we have a major event here at 10 a.m. San Francisco time, and the global CIO for Farmers Insurance will be here. And I'm going to be telling him about the great announcement between Salesforce and IBM, because he can augment his Salesforce implementation with this phenomenal Watson service, the ability for Watson to add additional value to Salesforce's key industries, like weather in insurance or financial services or retail, or so many of the area, healthcare, so many of the areas where you specialize, David, and where Ginny has really guided Watson. Now we can really add all this extra value to Salesforce. That is really cool.
Yep, so the one thing I've learned about Salesforce is velocity. We've certainly picked up ours. You know, you and Keith and Alex met with Ginny and I just in January in Davos and got this together in a short time. How does us working together speed things up versus slow things down? Because I think we both know we're in a race
against time. I hope our speed isn't making you uncomfortable.
Yeah. So
we are. I think that, you know, this is an amazing time in our industry, and artificial intelligence is accelerating, not deaccelerating. You can see that in the huge progress that's going on, whether it's in machine intelligence or machine learning or deep learning. Even here today at this announcement at 10 a.m., we have a phenomenal demonstration with Coca-Cola that we're going to be showing, where we've got, of course, we're managing Coca-Cola's worldwide sales and service and marketing systems, but we have not really been integrated very well or very deeply yet with their retail systems. And so what we can see is cameras being able to look right inside of refrigerators and doing real-time inventory acceleration. This is really based on the next generation of deep learning algorithms. And I think it's really a proof point on the speed of artificial intelligence and what's happening and changing. I think another really great example is kind of what the work that we're doing at Kone together in Finland. You know, of course, Kone is the fourth largest manufacturer of escalators and elevators in the world, and they're really working on building this next generation of kind of connected escalators and elevators. Well, we're of course providing all of the customer-based systems and helping them sell and service those incredible pieces of machinery. But now with Watson, we really have this ability to do predictive maintenance and also really know, gee, this elevator's about to fail or this escalator's about to fail. And through the Salesforce connectivity, we can roll the truck right to the customer. That's pretty awesome.
It is awesome. And the good news is Kone found it as well. So it's been a good triangle between the three of us. Lastly, you know, you and Ginny have clearly built a relationship here. You've told me it has a lot to do with values. So what do you see in common between the Salesforce values and the IBM values that are going to make this work?
Well, what I'm excited about, David, and Ginny knows this, is how we're going to market together. We have really got a unique model. I mean, of course, customers are really paying for Watson services as they consume them, right, as a service, which is great. And that's a model, you know, that we helped pioneer 18 years ago when we started Salesforce. Actually, Salesforce is going to be 18 years old tomorrow, an overnight success. But I'll tell you what really got me excited about this partnership is when Ginny made the decision to purchase Blue Wolf. Now, you may know Blue Wolf is a company that Salesforce helped incubate. In fact, the CEO, Eric Berridge, used to work for me before I started Salesforce. And we kind of worked together to build this amazing premier systems integration firm. In fact, I think it has a direct relationship with 5,000 of our customers. Salesforce doesn't do implementations of our services, so we rely on these key systems integrators like Blue Wolf to make this happen. Well, Blue Wolf really has this incredible reputation with our customers, and here, all of a sudden, IBM acquires them. That opened the door. Now, IBM has become one of the premier systems integrators in the world for Salesforce. That is awesome. And that means that they already know how to roll out and deploy and execute Salesforce for all of those thousands of customers around the world. Now they can go back to those customers and add in that Watson capability. That is right on the ground, go to market, integrated, and ready to go. And I talked to Eric Berridge, the CEO of Blue Wolf, this morning, and I just reiterated just how excited I am about this incredible partnership and how now with Blue Wolf and IBM, and with Salesforce and Watson, we can do things that we've only been dreaming about. So I've never been more excited about IBM and Watson. I've never been more excited about Salesforce. And I'm thrilled you invite me to be here today with you.
All right, Mark, thank you. Thank you very much. I want to close on that last point. Do I have my last slide? What Mark covered at the end here, I think, is really important, which you think about the business model, because he talked about the importance of services and the fact that services are what take AI and make it cognitive. Later you'll hear from Mark Foster. Across all the Watson applications, there's a very strong Watson practice within GBS, and there's a very strong Watson cognitive practice within GTS on how to manage this, because that architecture needs to be managed. That is another differentiator. You know, I'm so lucky to be at IBM, because I love this work. I do think this technology will change the world. It is hard to do it for business. AI for business is very different than AI for consumer. It's not like building a couple of devices or an interface. We're changing the way business processes work. And having folks who understand the systems as they become cognitive makes a big difference. And certainly, I think there's a lot of potential between our platform and Salesforce, but having GBS and Blue Wolf in particular within that is the only way we both have confidence it can happen. So if I summarize this whole platform session, because now you're going to hear about all the great things being built on top of the platform, I think there's three things you should take away. And I'm just going to have a little more depth than John had on exactly the same three. Number one, clients are picking this platform because they get choice and control. They get control of their knowledge and their insights. They're not training a general model. You heard that was important to H&R Block. You heard that was important to Woodside. Secondly, they can leverage open source and open standards. That's important to the data scientists. They want the best tools, and they don't want to be totally locked in. And the fact that our data science experience is open is key. And they can use multiple deployment and data location models. That matters. It matters legally. Sometimes you're restricted where you can have your data. It matters practically, because you've got a big investment already in your data. And it matters strategically. So our ability to help you have choice and control and combine a private cloud, a hybrid solution, and a public cloud, nobody else has that in cloud, and certainly nobody has that underneath a cognitive system. Secondly, this system is built. It didn't start when all the clouds started, but it's built for data and AI. We have the most advanced analytics. We've got the strongest AI. Our end-to-end data management ability to learn a domain is unparalleled, and all the infrastructure that we've been designing, I've got the chance to do it now using the latest technology. We've got the chance to work with our colleagues in power and make sure they're building the right capacity for this. That will make a big difference to have the right compute, the right network, and the right storage for this era. And thirdly, we have a knowledge of industries. That means we can figure out how to do the tax code. We could work with industry experts. Medicine's for real. We don't do this on our own. We can work with professionals. We don't think that it's a consumerized solution. Our respect for industry partners and also our own industry expertise makes a big difference. That means we can come to an industry understanding it, understanding its workflow, understanding its regulations, understanding what's unique about it. We also have services, and those services are also organized by industry, and that makes sure we're not just delivering AI. We're delivering a cognitive solution, and we stick with you. We stick with those industries over time. You heard from H&R Block, they've already got plans for next year and the year after. You heard from Woodside, they've gone from 1 to 15. They could go to 100 different applications, all of those working. You heard from Mark Benioff that he's got a big system gaining, with a big footprint in customer management. But boy, if the customer management can connect to the knowledge of everything else that happens in the company, it helps every enterprise become more customer-centric. And I think you'll see, as we've built a robust platform, more and more partners will come, and this can be the defining cloud, the defining cognitive platform for all businesses in this next era. It's a great mission. It's a unique and differentiated mission. I do believe only IBM can do it. I'm very proud of it, and it's just the beginning. So I thank you for investing in us and being with us on this journey. I assure you it's going to pay off. Thank you.